This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hello, Dee.
Hello, Tom.
Here we are in the podcast palace messing around with some new stuff. You're seeing that this is going to be...
And we don't know what we're doing, so...
Well, yeah, we know 10% of what we know, and we don't know what we don't know, the other 90%. But here we are at Catholic Vitamins, and what we're talking about is we've always used GarageBand for building up our Catholic Vitamins podcast. And quite frankly, there's a new version of GarageBand, which I loaded. And after I loaded it said it doesn't support podcasting anymore. Well, hello.
So we don't know whether this is going anywhere or not, right?
Well, we know that we're speaking because we can see the indicator going up and down. We hope this is working, and we'll see if we can put together a show with a little bit of tech support from dear Brian Murdaugh, who's been our tech guru behind us for quite a while.
In the meantime, we are trying. And this is Catholic Vitamin B for baptism.
Dee, who is our guest? Just who do you think our guest
is? The very, 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 very busy Deacon Fergal O'Neill.
We used to know him before he had the title Deacon, before the bishop laid hands on him. And the longtime listeners to Catholic Vitamins will know that we sort of followed the end of his formation. And he is really off and doing beautiful service to the Lord. We'll talk about that when we get to...
Over in Ireland, by the way.
Yes, right, right.
And this is episode 230.
230, wow. Absolutely great, absolutely great.
And as we mentioned last time, we're in the ninth round of the alphabet.
Vitamin B, so we're right up near the front. And D, what do we have for prattle on this section of the show?
Well, you said you wanted to, wish happy anniversary to friends of ours here and from our parish.
Jim and Mary Lewis. Mary Lewis has been a faithful listener to Catholic Vitamins for about 3 years. And we have been involved in a faith travelers group with Jim and Mary Lewis.
So we want to congratulate them on 33 years.
And, how is that possible? She's only 35. Dee, I think you're mistaken. Unless he, robbed her or something.
You can take that up with her.
All right. And, Dee, what else do we have?
Well, this is Sunday. You did two Masses this morning, as usual. And after the second Mass, which I went to, we went to the frozen yogurt shop again.
You are an addict, Dee. You are an addict. We did this to meet a mother and her son. The son has been a very faithful and observant and, what can I say, is just a good demeanor as an altar server. And he's been doing this for a couple years. And I wanted to thank him and thank his mom for loaning him to us. And it turns out, Dee, that she is with the U.S. Forest Service, and in this area, the Forest Service, it's important everywhere, but she is in charge
of... head honcho around this area.
She's in charge of something like 1 million acres of the U.S. Forest Service,
wow.
And she takes input and all the potshots that people send to people in government who are trying to manage our forests and keep them from forest fires, which, of course, is really hard to do because we haven't had adequate moisture. And there's overutilization and not enough budget. So she was telling us about some of what she faced. It was an interesting hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of a yogurt shop finally had to come and kick us out.
I like the owner. Her name is Dee, too.
She is very, very sweet. And she likes us because we have become, through you, frequent participants.
We're going to have to get a punch card.
I know.
Well, what else did we do this past? Oh, we went back up to Madonna House again.
Yes,
up
we
north,
did.
90 miles north of here.
Winslow, Arizona, the place where the famous Eagles song is, where Madonna House, a mostly lay apostolate, has been for 50-some years.
Oh, 57.
Wow, 57 years.
And you were up last week with our pastor.
I was.
And this week we went up with another family from our parish. We wanted to show them, let them see what Madonna House was all about.
Sure, they'd heard, well, many of the parish have heard me preaching about Madonna House and about the beautiful work and the beautiful apostolate they have. And this family decided they wanted to come, and one of the people in the family is going to graduate from high school in a few months. And we are hopeful that he might be discerning a vocation. So there's no better place to go than a visit to Madonna House, where they have faithful liturgies, beautiful liturgies, uplifting singing.
And I think our friends we took up were very impressed by the atrium where they teach young children, three years old to like 6 years old, the catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Sure, it's a Montessori-based form of education. Let us not create the impression that that's all that Madonna House does. They have charisms all around the world, and they have 20 locations, Russia and France and
Belgium,
all sorts of places. But the charism for this house in Winslow, Arizona, by request of the bishops over those years, has been to help with religious education and formation, and not just to 6 years of age, but on up through the high school years. So they have youth and teen programs and whatever. We really enjoy Madonna House, and I'm studying, God willing, to become an associate deacon with Madonna House. Do we have any other prattle that we
need?
No,
do you want to do the drawing right now for the
Let's do
book
that.
We were going to give away?
Let's do that.
This is the episode when we said we would draw. All right, here we go.
All right, and pulling one of the slips that you put in there, the winner of the book. And what is the book, Dee?
All Honor to You by Father Peter Kwong Nguyen that we had on our show 3 weeks ago.
And the winner is Don Arsenault. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Arsenault or Arsenault. And he's from Yorktown, and we have his email address, so we'll have to get his.
Oh, great. That's a new name to us.
Okay, great, great.
Great.
And that book, we probably are butchering Father or Monsignor's name. That book is just a beautiful, tender story about being raised Catholic in Vietnam before the horrible oppression and the arrival of communism in all of the land of Vietnam. And the Monsignor, before he became a priest, was studying. And he left Vietnam on a boat. And there's a beautiful story about escaping Vietnam. And I'm not going to say any more, but let's mention the book title one more time, and then we'll cut.
All Honor to You.
All right. We'll be back. Well, as the lovely Dee said at the beginning of the show, we are on the phone with a very, very busy and relatively new deacon. His name is Fergal O'Neill, a longtime friend of Catholic Vitamins. Hi once again, Deacon Fergal.
Good evening to you all in America. Great to be with you again, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yes, what I'd like to do is to, in a couple moments, start to get into our vitamin topic of baptism and have a little bit of theology about it, but also to talk a little bit about the experiences that you've had with baptism as a deacon. But let's start by asking how you are, how's life, and are you busy?
Well, Well, busy, I suppose, is the key word, but there's a lovely phrase, I think I said this to you before, there's a lovely phrase in the funeral liturgy that says, life has changed, not ended. And that's exactly where we are at the moment. Life has indeed changed. Life has changed for the better. But it hasn't ended. It goes on. The family demands are still there. The school demands are still there. And now the Lord has his demands. But as always, the Lord gently encourages and gently leads, and his grace is never lacking. So thank God I find myself 6 months on, actually, since the 13th of May. I was just thinking of Our Lady of Fatima on that day, and it was on the 13th of October when we were ordained, and here we are the 13th of May, big Fatima day, and we're 6 months into our ministry. And to say it's been a roller coaster is, I suppose, the key phrase. It really has. It has its ups and it has its downs, I suppose, as everything does. But on the mainstream, it has been extremely rewarding. And I think you said it to me, Deacon Tom, nothing could have prepared me for what the Lord had in store. Mm-hmm. The Lord is always full of surprises, and the Lord never leaves us lacking. He always fills our need. That's one thing I've really learned.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, there's just so much. You know, after 4 years of it, in our case, back in Denver, after 4 years of formation, we just thought, well, all right, this will just be a piece of cake. We know what we're going to do here. And oh, my heavens, it's been something else. And, you know, there's just so many things that they didn't prepare us for in formation.
That's true.
People that approach us for things that, you know, you really need to have the Holy Spirit's guidance before you respond. And
Yes, I think that's why the prayer life of a deacon is so, so important. I mean, prayer for everybody is so important, but I'm beginning to discover now, really since Holy Week, the reason why the church encourages us to pray our morning and evening prayer, because we can't do it on our own. It's impossible, absolutely impossible. I'm sure you'll find the same. The day, perhaps, when it's a little busy and we might go into the day lacking a little bit of prayer, or we might come out of the day lacking a bit of prayer, we do feel it. The Spirit feels it. And, you know, we have to make sure that we are constantly in touch with the Lord and constantly earthed with the people around us.
Yeah. So I want to ask a question which will have a lot of areas for response. And if you want to just pick one or two, please do. But how has this been in terms of your relationship with your dear, sweet wife, Mary, with the kids, with your pastor, and with your parishioners? Anything come to mind to talk about in any of those areas?
Yeah, I suppose all very different levels. They're all new relationships, even though they're forged on old kind of understandings and old, you know, unique friendships and so on. But there's something very new in every one of them. I know somebody asked me that question only about 2 weeks ago. He said to me, when I heard you were going for diaconate, the first person I thought of was your wife. And I said, with a wife and six children, this will never work. And he asked me exactly the same thing you've just asked me there. How has it been? And the very simple answer, and I said at the beginning of the interview, the very simple answer is grace has never been lacking. Any time when a difficulty might arise, or there might be a clash in schedules, or the Lord has called me maybe to go and do something and the family is here, somebody always comes to the rescue. Something always comes to the rescue. And the Lord lets us know. And I remember saying this to Mary as well. If this is the Lord's work, he'll be in the midst of it. He'll be there. And I think for Mary, she's beginning to see that. Mary is beginning to realize that this is not just me and Fergal. This is me and Fergal and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And little by little, she's beginning to realize that it's a bigger scenario than just me being a deacon. We're a family with the added grace, thank God, of ordination, which has brought its own benefits to the family. So I suppose from that point of view, Mary has seen another side that she didn't see pre-ordination. Mm-hmm. And at times, so I want, I mean, you can't gloss it over. She does find it difficult at times because, you know, friends will go up to her, they'll ask how I am rather than how she is. because I saw him on the altar at last, whatever it was, last Sunday, or, you know, he gave a great talk, or he gave this, that. And she said that to me, was just, you used to come up and ask me how I was, and now they're telling me how wonderful you are. You know, at times she's like, I wonder how long this is going to last. So from that point of view, I suppose we're learning, and we will continuously learn. It's we're learning for life, basically. With the parishioners, they've been very positive. My parishioners, thanks be to God, from before ordination right the way through, they really were a backbone of support, and they've continued to be. In their own quiet way, they're very unassuming. You know, they greet you the same way as they greeted you beforehand. There's no airs and graces, but yet there is a realization that you know, I've taken the courage, the courageous step to go forward and do this, and they have supported me 1,000,000%. If I do something wrong, they'll tell me. If I do something right, they'll tell me, which is a wonderful balance. You know, you don't get kind of your head's in the cloud without keeping your feet on the ground in this parish, because very quickly they'll remind you of who you are and where you've come from.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for my pastor as well. You know, my pastor, again, a very, very good man, very busy man. We've just renovated the church. I know you were over here almost a year ago, just over a little over a year ago, actually. You were here mm-hmm. in May of 2013. And we were only talking about that the last couple of days, about the visit and the couple of days you were here. But when you were here, the church was very dark and very drab, and the colours were, the colour scheme was very antiquated. But we have invested a huge amount of money, about 1.5 million, I think, which is big for a parish over here. And we've completely renovated the church and reordered the church. And, you know, he has driven that from the very beginning right up to the end, and it has been a complete success. So in that way, he's been focused, and we've met, and we've had words, and we've, you know, we've laughed, and I would assist him at Mass and that kind of thing, and he's trying to involve me, and he's given me a little bit of responsibility. I'd say months go on, he will give me something new to do, or he'll ask me to do something else. So he knows I'm there, yet he is extremely busy, but he's not forgetting about the fact that I need experience, I need to find my feet, and that's something too that he has helped me with. So on all levels, there has been a sense of newness. But yes, there has been the old familiar, which is really great.
So I have a little smile to share with you as a perhaps an expectation of times to come. Do you remember when Jesus returned to his native area and they didn't put on with him too much? And he said, you know, a prophet is respected everywhere except at his hometown.
I'm paraphrasing.
But what I noted, we were in our parish back in Colorado for 10 years, almost 10 years, and when I first became a deacon, there was, you know, a real groundswell of great support, some very tender letters and gifts and whatever, and invitations to speak at the women's group and all that sort of thing. But after a while, you know, it was sort of like, this fella challenges us, you know, and we've heard him before. Maybe we could get a different speaker to come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, Lord, if only it was that easy.
Well,
whatever about America, where they can pick and choose? I don't know how many deacons are over there. Unfortunately, in Nace, for the foreseeable future, there's only going to be one, because our program has stopped. So I don't know when the present bishop is going to start it up again. So I think, you know, I'm there for the long haul. I won't be moved anywhere. And I think maybe they know that. And maybe perhaps a little bit of, well, you better be nice to him, because he's going to be here for a long time.
All right. Well, I'd like to gently move into the topic of baptism, and I have two things that I'd like to start with. One is my first experience of baptism, and I'll get into that in a second. And the second thing I'd like to get into is baptismal prep for new parents or parents who are bringing a second or a third child in for baptism. So let me start with my first baptism experience, and then ask you to share similarly. It happened that the pastor in the parish where I was gave baptismal prep and infant baptisms over to me as an area of responsibility. And so one time the secretary called me and said there had been a call from a lady in Florida that wanted to talk to whoever about the baptism of not a child, but two children. So I called her. And she was calling on behalf of her brother, who was not attending church, and he was up in another part of the U.S., and she was doing this in anticipation of a family reunion that was going to happen in about 4 or 5 months.
Mm.
And I'm trying to make this clear, that she was in one part of the country. She was talking to me about her brother, who was a dad of two children that had not been baptized, and would I be willing to start talking with him about baptism? Well, I must have had, you know, like 8 telephone calls, lengthy telephone calls in the evening with him. First of all, asking why he wasn't attending church. Did somebody do something wrong? Had he become bored? What had happened? We went through that, and then we started talking about, you know, a new relationship with the Lord, and eventually got to baptism, and I asked him to go see the pastor of the parish where he lived to get permission to continue with me and to perhaps allow baptism in this third area where they were getting together for a family reunion, which is where I lived. So when it finally happened, Fergal, it was so emotional. I mean, a first baptism, two children, and they were a little bit older. They had they hadn't attained the age of reason. The family came together. The grandfather who lived in this town where we were having the family reunion, he was crying. I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
So that was a great send-off to the practice of baptism for young families. And I just wonder if you want to speak on the first one or two baptisms that you've had.
Yeah, the first one came about sooner than I thought it would because I was asked to step in for a priest who was called away. I had, I think, a gap of about 4 weeks between my ordination, my first baptism, on paper. But in essence, it turned out to be just a couple of days. And I can remember thinking to myself, how do I broach this? What do I do? What's my first step? And the very first thing I got into my head was, okay, I'll go and visit the parents. Because I'd be very lucky. All the parents of the children who I'd baptize here would almost be within walking distance of the house because our parish is so small. It's clustered. There's a lot in it, but it's a very small space. And that's exactly what I did. And I was very conscious of Pope Francis telling us that these moments of the deacon or the priest going into people's homes, into their space, are precious moments of contact where we can really evangelize to people who are open, people who are expecting, people who are hopeful, people who are full of joy because the baptism is just about to happen. And my fear was that, number one, they wouldn't know what a deacon was, which was true, they didn't. That gave me a great chance to explain myself. But secondly, that I wouldn't be welcome. That, you know, I'd be told, well, you know, we're not available or we're not, no thanks, or should we see you on the day? Nothing could have prepared me for the way in which I was received. And in fact, I remember saying to one person afterwards, I now know how the 72 felt when they went out and they did what the Lord told them to do and came back rejoicing. That's exactly the way I felt. That wonderful, wonderful joy that there was a deep movement of the Holy Spirit in that space while we were talking. And I think the added bonus as well would be that I could bring the family experience with me because the very first thing I did on the first house, it was 8 o'clock at night, I knocked on the window instead of ringing the doorbell, which a lot of people would do if they don't have children. They wouldn't realize that the children would be in bed. And they were amazed at this until I told them that, well, I actually had 6 children myself, and if I did that in my house, I'd be thrown out to the shed for the night. So it was, I have to say, that was the most wonderful thing. And that, to me, is the highlight before the baptism, meeting the parents, sitting down, having a cup of tea, sorting out the nerves the night before, reminding them what the ceremony is going to be, getting the shawl, getting the candle into the car before I leave, and just shaking hands so that we're not strangers on the day we meet.
Mm-hmm.
But a funny story I will share with you in relation to the very first baptism I did. Of course, I was really nervous, really nervous, because this was the first time ever that I was on my own in the sanctuary with a number of eyes watching me, those who thought I was mad, those who didn't want to be there, those who wanted to be there, and those who were completely switched off. I knew I had all ranges, which for me is grand because school prepares me for that anyway. That's just like a classroom I would have on a Monday morning. But I had my homily. I spent about 3 days preparing a homily, and I had it, as far as I was concerned, down to a T. And I said, the very first thing I'll do now when I go to the church is I put the homily out on the ambo and I leave it there so that I don't forget it when I go out. So that was grand. I left the homily there and came for the first reading. I called up one of the members of the family to do the first reading. Great, up they came. Somebody came to do the psalm. Somebody came to do the second reading. And I went up to read the gospel. And when I moved my sheet away from the ambo to read my homily, it was gone. Somebody who came up to do the reading took the sheet of paper. They obviously took the two sheets and went down to their seats.
Oh, my. Oh.
And I can just remember looking at a blank ambo, looking down the church at about 100 expectant faces, what's he going to say, and not having the slightest clue what was written on that sheet. So I had to just ask the Holy Spirit, fill my mind with something quickly. And I did. Thank God I got through. Nobody knew except myself. But I'll never forget the fright. It was such a scare to realize. And it was like as if the Lord was saying, you know, you can do this on your own. You don't need to read this. Just talk to them. Just be with them. Move down amongst them. But that was the biggest fright I ever got. But summing up my baptisms to date, I mean, I just received a card yesterday from a family who their child was baptized last Saturday, and a most beautiful card. Really, really, such emotion and such, you know, an expression of thank you. The thank yous that came through in it. They said it was a wonderful event. It was a solemn event. It was an engaging event. It was an emotional event. And these little things, and you know, people won't think this very much of priests or deacons, but these are the things that really touch us. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time touching others and reaching out to others. And when we get little moments like that, where somebody moved by the Holy Spirit reaches out to us to say thank you, they are really moments of extreme grace. Really, really. And that to me today now, it really moved me. I have to say, it really moved me that I had for that 40 minutes, 45 minutes, made an impact and made a difference in that family's life. So Amen. I think we have to be very thankful to the Lord that we're being given this wonderful ministry to be in amongst the people, not only at their great moments of joy, but also in the funeral homes and so on, at their moments of greatest pain. I mean, we share such a unique experience with them that we can only ever be thankful and prayerful.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful, Fergal. I want to do a couple of minutes of baptismal prep. And I'll start by sharing a little bit of what I do, which is very heavy emphasis on what is a sacrament, that this is the way to enter into the Catholic faith, that the godparents are an important part of this, and I encourage them that this is not a one-day relationship, but it's an ongoing relationship in many ways. Even to the extent of sending anniversary cards to the child on the anniversary of their baptism. And I've taken to preaching about this in the church. I recently had a mass said for the repose of the souls of my godparents, who I'm not going to say how many years ago it was, but who were present for my baptism and stood up for me. And I've used this as an example of the formation. I've done one other thing, which you might think a little bit irregular, but I wanted to just share it. The idea of the godparents being the sponsors, being a part of this important sacrament, is highlighted where two times I have had them pass the child between the two parents and then the two godparents, and then I poured water over the child's head as I baptized him or her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that each of them held the child in participation of that moment of baptism.
Wow, yeah.
A little bit irregular, perhaps, but very...
No, but very strong symbolism, wonderful. It's funny, because when it comes to the candle, when we're passing on Receive the Light of Christ, I will always make sure that the godparents hold that candle together, because there's a tradition here in Ireland, I don't know how you do it in the States, but one of the godparents holds the shawl and the other godparent holds the candle. And I often feel that when you're saying receive the light of Christ to one of them, that somehow the other one seems a little bit left out. So I always make sure that the two of them hold it together to realize that they're in this together, that this is a joint responsibility as well as being unique responsibility. But
very
what you
lovely.
Do, what you say there, that it's really, it's wonderful. It's a lovely move. It's lovely.
Yeah, lovely. Any other thoughts on the sacrament of baptism or on your formation to be a part of this?
I suppose in relation to what you're saying with the godparents, when I give my little homily, which I know some people say, you don't have to give a homily at the baptism because, look, they're coming in, they're all fussed, they're all stressed, and they want to get out and go and have their celebration as quick as possible. And I say, no, this is a moment of catechesis. This is a moment that Pope Francis has told us to utilize because people are open at that stage. One of the things I will say, I use my homily to address four groups of people, and I speak to them directly. I speak to the parents. And one of the things I say to the parents is, you know, this, similar to what you said, this of a lifelong journey. You're making the promise. You're asking for baptism. You're taking on the responsibility of training your child in the faith. And I will often say, as a father, it's not easy. And the church knows it's not easy. And we're letting you know today that we're here for you and that you're surrounded by family and friends who will support you and aid you as much as possible. And then I'll turn to the godparents, and very similar to what you said, I'll always say to the godparents, yes, it's important to remember the birthdays, yes, it's important to remember Christmas and Easter and everything else that goes with it, but please remember, one of the best things that you can give your godchild is your time and your prayers and your constant presence right the way through their life. So that's again, this is day one of something, of a new relationship. And I'll always point out to the godparents too, the parents are renewing their baptismal promises, but the godparents are actually making the baptismal promises on behalf of the child. So this is the first time ever that the child has been represented in relation to the baptismal promises, and the godparents have that unique responsibility.
Oh, that's lovely, yeah.
Great. Yeah, but, and I'll include then after that, I'll always turn and I'll say, and where would we be without our grandparents? And you can normally see a look of surprise. The grandparents always look up, because it's always their parents and godparents. But I'll remind them that, you know, 30 years ago, it was you that was at this door asking for baptism. And because of something you've done down the line, your children have come back to the church today to ask for their children what you asked for 30, 35 years ago. And I'd say, in the name of the church, I thank you for bearing witness to the faith, because what you've done today has borne fruit.
Oh, how beautiful.
You know, and I think it's really, really nice. And it's nice to remember them all. And it just makes it personal, very similar to the way in which you make it personal by, you know, talking to the individuals and passing the baby from godparents to parents. I think it's important that they're addressed uniquely and individually.
Wow, what a great conversation this has been. Just what I had hoped for this Catholic vitamin of baptism. And we really could go on, because there's a lot more that we could cover about, you know, the sacred chrism being used and whatever. But I'd promised that I wouldn't hold you too late in the evening. I do want to ask you for any closing thoughts you have on the gift of the diaconate in your life. I mean, you've already sort of done that, but... I have just said that other than faith and marriage, God has not given me anything that has been more profound in my life than becoming a deacon.
Exactly.
And
I'd be with you on that. And, you know, God is a God of surprises. That's the one thing I've learned. But I've also learned that daily I have to hold the hand of Mary. Mary is my guide. Mary is my, if I want to put it in an Irish way, she's my bridle and bit. You know, the thing they put into the horse to guide the horse along the road. Mary is my bridle and bit. Without Mary, I don't think the road would have been as easy to pass through in relation to the diaconate as it has been. She's been a constant support. She's been a constant guide, as well as my wife, Mary. But the Blessed Virgin Mary has really come through, and I began to realize the importance of her presence in my life as mother and as queen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Deacon Fergal, stay on the line after you and I finish saying goodbye so I could wrap up a bit with you. But what a joy it's been to have you for an active participation as an ordained member of the clergy for one of our vitamins, Catholic vitamin B for baptism. And Dee and I really, we smile at each other about this. We really understand some of what you're going through. We may not know all of the details, but when you can, we sure enjoy having your participation on Catholic vitamins.
And thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. You know, I always look forward. Even this morning, I was thinking, how many hours now before I talk to Deacon Tom? And it just seemed like an eternity. And when he gave me the chance to come on a little earlier tonight, I jumped and I said, yep, I want to talk to this man now, because it's been a while. So it's been a fantastic opportunity. And God bless you both.
Blessings, Fergal. Wasn't that a great interview with Deacon Fergal?
Well, he's always good.
I know. He's so full of the Lord and so full of the joy of his ordination and his work. Just great to be a fellow deacon with him and to be friends as we are with the family.
Aren't you glad you're not as busy as him?
Well, I seem to stay pretty busy. I really do, Dee. Well, let's see. Oh, we're not going to have our correspondents with us this week for a variety of reasons. Obviously, Fergal was our main interview, our guest, and so we won't have one of his reflections. But we hope that all of the correspondents, all of the gang, will be back next week.
Or soon.
Yes. All right, Dee.
We have two new members to welcome on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. Michelle, Johnson, Langdon, Bob.
Four names?
That's what it says here.
Wow. Wow. She must be royalty.
And Martha Green.
Welcome to both of you ladies. Thank you for joining Friends of Catholic Vitamins.
And brings us up to 204 members.
We're definitely continuing to think about doing some name draws and sending out something to thank people for being Friends of Catholic Vitamins. Dee, we'll have to work on that.
Maybe later on in the summer.
All right.
And all right. We had a few correct guesses last week.
All right.
So, pick one.
I got it. And this is for the guess for the vitamin?
For baptism.
For baptism. Oh, gosh. Another familiar name. David, this is your last time. We're not doing this anymore with you. Well, thanks for coming along and taking guesses.
Oh, no, David, thank you. We're just happy when everybody participates. And even if you do it time after time and you're a winner time after time.
I mean, a couple, three times in a row is enough. But
well, you picked it.
I know. Well, we don't rig these, you know. All right. Thank you for taking guesses. And for those of you listening, the lovely Dee is going to give us the tease for the next show. And all you do is just take a guess, send your answer to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And she opens up a basket for those that send in correct guesses. And then we do a name poll, just like we did here. What
all
else?
All right. Next vitamin. Next Vita Scrabble. Clue. Vitamin C. Ends in E. Four letters.
Oh, another slam dunk. Another slam dunk.
I know.
All right. Dear friends, we're working on some new software, which is not very user-friendly, so I'll be looking for some new podcast software. But we look forward to joining you next week for Vitamin C and D. What do you got? Anything else to do?
I have taken care of all my stuff.
All right. Why don't you say it?
Bye.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.